And that brings us to another round of Date Night, new feature here on The Aaron Keck Show. And we are joined in the studio by my favorite special guest, my husband, Brad Bednar. How are you?
Can't complain, Aaron.
How long do we call this a new feature? So, like, do we go for a month? Do we go for 2 months? Do we just keep calling it a new feature forever because every week is a new week with you?
I think every week is a new week when you're dating or married.
That's just going to annoy everyone out of the room within 5 minutes, though.
That's okay, though. It's okay, we're good with that. They can come back.
It's fine. Yeah, they'll come back. Come back. It's fine. If you're annoyed out of the room, just come back in a few minutes. It'll all be good. So, cool. We had a good night last night.
We did, yeah. So, you know, we've got a couple regular places in our rotation.
Several, right.
I think it's a regular occurrence that you get home from work and one of us says, all right, pick one of three places to go.
Yes.
It's always more challenging naming the three places than it is picking one.
Yeah, I think the difficulty is like being the first person to say, give me three options.
And you have to be polite about it, right? Like, you can't ask the question, where do you want to go tonight? Give me three options.
Yes.
You have to be magnanimous in case there's that one place you really want to go.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Really? Because I've kind of stopped being magnanimous about it. And so have you, by the way. Last night, you were like, give me three options for dinner without even asking first.
Okay, listen, it was a long day.
The magnanimity comes in going back and forth. Like, I did it last night, so you did it tonight, and we go back and forth.
I just wanted to make
sure
you knew it was my turn to not have the pressure.
Oh, no, I was fully aware.
Okay, good.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So...
Anyway.
We've got a couple... We got this list of places. I need to make an Excel spreadsheet so I can just mark like when we've gone to ones recently and just auto like generate these things.
That is the most Brad thing you've ever said.
Last night we went to Alley 26.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
In downtown Durham.
Right there in downtown Durham.
On that block with all the bars.
Right. There's the rooftop. There's Kingfisher. There's Alley. There is
Jack Tar right around the corner.
Right,
Poor right around the corner.
Yeah. Hundreds of places you can go eat and drink. Alley is one of our favorites.
And two big parking decks that are free after 7 p.m.
And that new one that's down at the bottom of the hill, it used to be a secret and is not now because Durham is just plugging the heck out of it. Even though there was a ball game last night, we found parking.
I didn't even know if Durham is plugging the heck out of it. People just discovered it. Like, the first couple of times we went in there, it was completely empty. And now, last night, we go in and, like, eight cars are pulling into this parking deck all at the same time. And there are still spaces,
but it's
filling up more and more. Which leads to the question, where the hell did these people park before this giant parking deck was built?
I assume that, like, since it was a ball game night, they were all parking, like, right next to the Ford dealership downtown.
Maybe.
Or up on the lawn, like, way down.
And paying money for it.
And paying money for it, because this was a free lot.
I bet you if we went to that Ford dealership, there would still be cars parked along that street.
Those are cars for sale, Aaron.
Not for long. I think people just fill the parking spaces that are created for them. Like, we had the same issue when Carbro built that parking deck a couple of years ago. It's full now.
Right. Where did we park beforehand
when
all you had was that one
gravel lot
and that other gravel lot, on either side of the block of Main Street between Armadillo and the Tyler's Speakeasy area?
And I do think that's the case, too, with, like, parking in downtown Chapel Hill, because everyone always complains, the parking in downtown Chapel Hill. We could build eight parking decks, and people would still complain about the lack of parking in downtown Chapel Hill because we fill the spaces that are given to us.
Right,
so it's always going to be scarce.
But yeah.
Which isn't to say that we shouldn't build eight parking decks. It's just, you know, the complaints aren't going to go away.
Right, no. I mean, like, you fill the volume of the room you're in, right?
Exactly, We are all liquids, basically.
We are all liquids.
Yeah, just human society is like a liquid when it comes to parking.
Profound tellings here on Date Night.
So we went to Alley 26.
So we went to Alley 26.
Speaking of liquids.
you know, I love Alley, like, for a couple of reasons. Like, one, it may be, like, the best burger in Durham. It's
and that includes Bull City Burger, which is kind of nationally known at this point.
Tweet at me, people, but, you know, it's got, they cook at temperature, so, like, your burger's always cooked correctly, which is a rarity at a lot of places.
Shot across the bow there.
It's got, like, bacon jam, it's got kind of a spicy sauce. It's great. The fries always come hot, which is a big pet peeve of mine when you go to a restaurant and it's clear clear. These fries have been sitting like under a heat lamp for 4.5 hours.
Hashtag unscripted,
waiting to come over to you. The bar is great. And they're great in that like classic off-menu cocktail way. If you're ordering on menu, you're either going to get something amazing or something good. But like if you order just, you know, a classic three-ingredient cocktail, Manhattan Old Fashioned, Martini, what have you, Negroni.
Which is our go-to.
It's going to be amazing. So, fun fact about Alley 26 that I did not realize until like we've been going there for a year or more. There's an alley.
Yes.
Like right by it, right?
Yeah, there's an actual alley that the restaurant is named after.
Yeah,
and you can sit out there. There's three tables.
Right.
Three tables in an alley, and this is our outdoor seating area.
Yeah, there's three tables.
Nice.
And a bench like put on the wall or a shelf on the wall.
Three tables and a bench.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, we'd gone there for a year or more at some point, and it was like a late fall night. Like I've got a picture on like my Facebook of you and me there, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, you can't sit inside, and you know, you could sit outside.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Like, we came in the front door, that's like a sidewalk. I'm like, no, go to the alley.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
sure. This is how all the great stories begin.
Yeah. The alley. Right, yeah.
So we're sitting out in the alley last night, and the table next to us has this couple, and they're not a couple,
but
it's two friends, and one of them is telling the other about their bad relationship, basically, in a volume that is not super loud, but it's not loud enough that you can't help but overhearing like the little snippets of the details of the conversation as you're sitting at the table right next to him.
Yeah, this was not one where we're like craning our ears, like
we would never do that. We are not gauche.
We're not doing what our friend Jeff does at restaurant and blatantly eavesdrops on the people behind him and loudly proclaims, I love eavesdropping.
Not that we're referring to anything or
not a specific instance in our life.
No, of course not. I was not there for that one. That was a you and Jeff thing.
And Kristen and Charles. But
and
like
Kristen
it's
Trey,
it's a story that is traded around our friend circle anytime any of us get snoopy because of Jeff's love of spying on the two police officers who were on a date behind us.
And insofar as that story frequently gets recalled, we're all snoopy.
Right,
because
we recall
that story every time someone eavesdrops. Like,
right.
Hey, remember when Jeff did that?
Yeah.
It's like, Jeff really gets a bad rap for that one time when everyone else does it all the time, too.
I think we're a little more subtle, and we're better at eavesdropping.
We are also talking about it on live radio right now. So.
Yeah, but
subtlety has degrees.
We're in Chapel Hill. It's fine.
Oh, that's fair. All right, cool. So we've got we're sitting in alley. We've got this couple talking about their bad relationships, and it leads us to think.
Right. Where do you go to break up? Like,
yeah.
What? How and when and why is it appropriate to break up with somebody so that you have an alley story to tell down the line?
I think this is good because our first date night was last week. Our first date night segment on the show was last week. Have to specify. Our first date night was a long time ago. First date night segment was last week. We talk about where do you go on a first date.
Right.
So why not follow up with where do you go on the last date ever?
Right.
And
it may comfort you to know that I don't have a great answer for this.
I don't have a great answer either.
I definitely have an approach and a philosophy. So I have answers that are thematic, but are not the right answer, right?
I am comforted that you don't have a great answer.
Yeah.
I am less comforted that you've spent some time thinking about it.
I just want to be prepared for any contingency, Aaron.
I have only ever had a breakup conversation once, and I did it wrong.
Like, yeah.
I think everyone's been there.
Right.
Like, I very carefully chose the time and the place and the location. It's like to make it kind of an easy situation for everyone. And then we were having this conversation in a car.
Right.
And we were kind of driving around. And it ended up being an okay conversation, but I timed it incorrectly so that at the point when the conversation ended, we were like still 25 minutes away from getting back to the house.
So this is not like you driving to like New York.
So we
or
still
back.
Had like 25 minutes to go in this car together after.
Just slowly turn the radio up and start singing along to whatever top 40 stations in the area.
They're all sad breakup songs.
They are. So I'm bad at breakups. Just in general, whether it's in relationships or like at work or whatever, because I... tend to be conflict averse. I don't like having that, I'm going to disappoint you with news that I perceive as being bad for you. Yeah. So I bottle everything up, and then you bottle it up, and then you bottle up, and then I just explode at inopportune times, usually like in a very private, like unescapable situation, and then you're stuck there staring awkwardly at each other as this guy is just yelling at you about all your problems. Or you know, you quit your job and, you know, get a new one.
These are increasingly specific details.
There are very specific details. Right. So I want to avoid that in the future, right?
Good.
So I think there's a couple things that make a breakup place great, or as good as it can be. I think much like kind of the first date, you don't want to go like overly romantic or expensive, right?
Right.
You don't want a Legally Blonde situation where she's showing up expecting a proposal.
And then
Warner's like, yeah, no, I need somebody more serious.
Right.
Okay, bye. So, with that in mind, I also don't think it should be, like, one of your favorite places. Like, I don't think you want to taint, like, you know, like, yeah. Allie. Like, I'm not breaking up with you at Allie, because I
so every time we
there.
Go to Allie, I'm safe?
You're
is that
safe.
What you're saying?
Yeah,
good,
yeah. As
good.
Long as it awesome. Remains on the list of three, you're good.
Glad. Glad to hear.
So, I think it should be somewhere you have a bad memory with already. So, that, like, you're piling more onto more. So, throwing this out there.
All right.
Breakup option, Cat's Cradle.
Okay.
Oddly specific. And the
do you
reason
have bad memories
I
of
do.
Cat's Cradle? Oh, good. Because
so
we don't have bad
we
memories.
We don't, yeah.
Of
and
Cat.
We've never been.
You
so
do.
You're still you're
yes.
still safe, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So it was 2012.
picture it. Sicily, 2012.
February, 2012. It's the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival.
Oh, you do have a bad memory. That's
and,
right.
You know, I had just started doing improv, you know, back in the day, it was kind of the norm that you trade time for, like, part of your theater.
Right.
And the like. So everybody in the company is, like, running this comedy arts festival because it's at seven stages.
Right.
And it's kind of the biggest festival in the, like, Southeast at the time.
Yeah.
So,
and like 2011, 2012 is the period when it, like, stretched out for an entire month.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Like
it was
they
3 weeks.
Scaled it back a little bit after, but yeah.
So it was improv week. It was like the first real shift I had because, like, we hadn't even been formally accepted in the company yet. It was just like, congratulations, you're pre-accepted. Here's your marching orders. And I got probably the blockbuster Friday night
show. Big show
because it was local legend P.T. Scarborough, who happens to be a movie.
Yes.
It was
two-man
movie.
Yeah.
Followed by Chris Gethard show out of, like, New York area.
Yeah, and Chris Gethard is huge.
And
he's huge now and huge then, too.
It started at 9:30 is when that block started. So the idea was you were going to be done by, like, 12:30 or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Chris Gethard started late and brought, like, this goth vampire death metal band with him.
Uh-huh.
As just, like, here's my
as
guess.
As he is wont to do.
And then, oh, by the way, like, it's 1 o'clock, and he's going to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
So the 1 o'clock go-home time is, like, pushed to 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, God bless Kate Harlow, who was managing that night, another one of our friends, who said, yeah, you've only been doing this for, like, a couple weeks. You shouldn't
you
have to
go.
Be here until 2 or 3 in the morning. You can go home. And
that's good.
That's my why I love Kate Harlow story. And, like, why, like, if I'm going to break up with somebody, like, we can
go
back
to
Cat's
Cradle.
Cradle.
There you go.
Have a disappointing time. You know, let's layer on one more disappointment with the it's not you, it's me.
You have thought about this way more than I have. I was just going to go to Chick-fil-A. I appreciate Cat's Cradle. That's a great answer. The only problem with that is if you go to the wrong show at Cat's
right.
Cradle, you're going to have a hard time having a conversation because the music's going to be so loud. The other person's going to be like, what? You want to take classes with me? What?
Right.
And then you have to have the conversation like 4 times, including one more time out in the parking lot afterwards.
No, I've got note cards. Please
oh,
read
good.
These. I have something to tell you.
Oh, so we've gone from Legally Blonde to Love Actually.
Yeah,
this is
yes.
good. All right. This is this has been date night for this week. That is where you go to break up.
There you go.
Not necessarily Cat's Cradle. Just go to a place where you've had a bad experience in the past
right.
and have another bad experience in the future.
There
I
you
like
go.
It. Brad Bednar, thank you so much.
Thank you.